At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Joining us on the podcast for Week 8 ranks, would you look at that? It's Brandon Funston. It's not like I don't see Funston every week, or we literally did this show last week over on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, but it has been a minute since Brandon It's come into our territory. We got home field advantage here, Brandon. Sorry. Home field is in our court. What's up, buddy?
I don't know about that, man. I'm on StreamYard talking fantasy football with you, and I talked with Bogman on Friday. This is like deja vu all over again. I'm feeling very comfortable, not to concern you guys, but I'm feeling like I have a little bit of a home court advantage myself.
I think so. It is funny. It is literally, people don't know, like, we actually use our StreamYard when we do the Athletic. This is literally the setup.
It's that, the same thing.
And I do it.
The background has changed. You replace Jake with a fat guy, and here we are.
Jake and the fat guy. That's like the show. So that's what we did over at the Athletic last week. We're going to be going through our Week 8 ranks as we always do. This will actually be kind of this might be a fun listen for people when Brandon and I are back over with Jake, because we do it in a little bit of a different style. This has a few more players. This is obviously a longer, more extended show. But we're also going to kick it off here in just a second with a couple questions, and we'll get to the ranks. But Brandon, what do you got going on? People can find you over at Brandon Funston on Twitter, of course. Anything to push what's going down? Obviously, you do the show with me and Jake over at the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, but what else is going on?
Yeah, I mean, I could run off the list of things that I'm editing this week that is going up live on The Athletic, but I would just encourage you to go and encourage your viewers to check it out. I'm sure you've maybe mentioned The Athletic a couple times on this podcast as well.
A few times.
But yeah. But yeah, you know, just...
I was editing Jake's article this week.
You want the short answer? The short answer is it was fine. It was business as usual.
I kind of want a little bit more of an extended answer.
The long answer is Jake assumes that everybody has listened to everything he's ever said in the last few days. And so so there's a lot of half references to things where you kind of have to like be, okay, what's he talking about here? Oh, I think he mentioned that in a column and he assumes that you read that. So, or something like that. So Jake is Jake, but we love him.
I think Absolutely. There's a reality show in there of Brandon and Jake's relationship and the editing of that type of stuff, too, because my other favorite thing is Jake's. I actually haven't looked yet. Well, it's Tuesday, so it's not even released yet. But as we're recording this, I always love to see what Jake put as his, like, he has this extra thing every single week. It's not just his normal ranks. He's done like TV shows and stuff like that, whatever it is. But I always think to myself, what is Brandon going through when he's reading this list? Like, is this in your wheelhouse?
There is a little bit of we have a little discrepancy in our age. So like, he's usually capped at somewhere in the 90s where I'm like, you know, full on in the 80s. So if there's something to do with pop culture, there's a big difference. And, and he's got himself a sweet tooth that goes deeper than mine as well. Yeah. So
this is a fun thing. We didn't talk about this. I just remembered this at this instant. And I don't know, we've never talked about this before. But Brandon, did you know that Bogman knows exactly where I'm going. Told me this. I had no idea about this until last week. And we actually mentioned it on one of our shows that, did you know that you were the first analyst that Bogman ever like revered ever getting into fantasy? Not to make you feel old or anything like that, but you were the first person that Bogman ever kind of attached to in fantasy. And I had
no idea. You're
the first
person where
that.
I was like, let me see what Funston says about this guy.
Wow.
That was pretty much the first thing, because I remember listening to you on Yahoo, you and Brad Evans, and I was like, oh, it's the loud guy in Funston show here. So but
trying to be the voice of reason. Well I kind of want to cement that in your mind, so I kind of feel like maybe I should exit stage left and not do anything to kind of, you know, blow that. Or maybe that's been blown out of the water a long time ago.
We worked together before. I've been in drafts with you now at this point. So, but you are like, the, in terms of like online personalities and me remembering names, you're the first one that I remember. I mean, I read a lot too, but I mean, I didn't, you know, I didn't pay attention as much to who was writing what chapter in like the magazines and stuff. But in terms of online personalities, absolutely, Funston, you were the first person.
That's pretty awesome. It's sort of an honor, but you know, it was a narrow field back in the day. It was like
you and Matthew Berry,
Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS, and the people that were there, you know, personalities and fanalists there. And that was kind of it. It's pretty awesome to see how, you know, massive this industry has exploded.
It was pretty much at that point, I think it was pretty much whoever, like your service was. If you went to Yahoo, it was Brad and Brandon. If you went to ESPN, it was Matthew Berry. If you went to CBS, I can't remember who was with CBS at that point, but yeah, I was CBS guys. So, you know,
yeah, I think Twitter just changed it for everybody.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like us and Bogman and I can be out there. What's funny about it is like, I never really got into the world of any of that, which is so funny because I'm so intertwined now. And I have been since, you know, since I've been doing this since 2014, but last couple of years I've intertwined myself so much more with, you know, just The Athletic, and I'm doing and CBS and everything like that, Fantasy Pros. But I was never a personality guy. I couldn't really recall. Bogman did Crazy Magazines. Matthew Berry was obviously on the Scope. Brad was actually on the Scope because working in radio, he signed a deal for a season with a local station out here in Phoenix. It was Extra Sports 910. I actually was the fill-in producer for that show, and he would do hits on there. That's how I learned about Brad. But I even remember first getting into the industry and just not being aware of all of them. I did this thing, Bogman will remember, spitballing, Bogman. I did this thing with this guy who was trying to get this pilot off the air. And this was like 6 or 7 years ago. And I just, my awareness of all of it was not there. I remember him bringing up Dalton Del Don, and I was like, I don't know who that is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
And he was like, you don't know? But it's like, I've always kind of been in that where now, you know, I am plugged obviously into.
You're more plugged in now than I am.
Yeah, probably, especially because of Twitter. Because of Twitter, I think it gets me more plugged in more than ever before. But I just wasn't in the like paying attention to all the personalities way before we ever did fantasy. So I just found that very interesting that we're all sitting here doing podcasts, and Bogman gets to do podcasts with this hero. So no big
deal. That's right, my hero. Right.
And the idea of fantasy personalities is sort of hilarious because really, if there was somebody out there that just nailed picks week in and week out and he had the worst personality, but would put him out there for people to see. That's the number one personality we all care about. Just somebody who gets it right, you know?
Well, you know, there's also an element I think
his
it
name
gets
is
lost.
Jake Seeley. Yeah.
Is a little unlikable. That's true. You know what's funny about it though? Is, and I love Jake, is that.
Come on, that was
fantasy sports. That was amazing.
Fish in a barrel.
Fantasy sports, though, also has this little element that sometimes I think gets forgotten in some places and should really be a little bit of attention moving forward. There's a little bit of a wrestling professional, a sports entertainment element that has to be aware. It didn't need to be there before, like when you were first doing it. Like you said, it was a small cast of characters. You know, you were the guys. There was some personality. But there's so much out there now that there has to be a sports entertainment, a real radio element. Entertainment has to be a part of the entire process. You can't just rattle everything off because everybody's talking about everything. So you want to have some fun with it. You want to bust some balls. You know, you want to do that type of course.
You got to differentiate yourself from the rest of the, you know, the sea of people doing it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you Have you seen that since, you know, you have been involved in this? Have you seen like that entertainment factor become more important, even more behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of the things I've done with other people, other, you know, quote unquote, panelists like Brad Evans and stuff, they're promoting debate, whether there's, you know, manufacturing debate, manufacturing kind of, you know, bits where it's, you know, a little bit more bombastic and things like that. But yeah, I've definitely seen that. And, you know, part of it is that it's water under the bridge as soon as you say it. No one other than like fantasy pros. And if you really are trying to work the fantasy pros rankings and you care, like I haven't updated on Sunday. I don't really care. I use it as just a, you know, as a form of where I can rank players each week.
Yeah.
But if you're really grinding to be good at that, then there is something there that people can look at. And Jake, you know, Jake's done very well on that. But for the most part, we say stuff, it's water under the bridge. You move on to the next week and people aren't really double checking you. You know?
And that's why I like that. That's why what I've always been, what's been important to me, what we've done in this league or wherever I go, I try to take is like an entertainment factor, because you should be entertained while you're doing all this stuff. Because a lot of us are talking about the same
thing. There's so many options too. You know, nobody wants to listen to a boring podcast, even if it does give you good information. It's still, you know, you have so many choices. At least choose something you enjoy.
Sometimes that's you need slam poetry with your fantasy box. That's what we do. You know, we literally did slam poetry in the last podcast. I will say, Brad, I think Brad gets a lot of crap in the industry. I think he's a great like analyst. I think he's great because of the entertainment factor, and he'll say crazy stuff and he'll just go at it. I think that's what this is built around. And I know Brad has kind of built his own empire here and there, but like, you know, is he the most accurate? I don't necessarily know if that's even important these days. And you obviously don't want to be talking out one side of your mouth or anything like that. You want to have accuracy,
as
but you've got to have the logic
adds up. The logic. It's never going to pan out completely like the way you think it is. But as long as your logic is there and you explain your logic, I think people get it, even if you're wrong.
Yeah. So, and one thing I've said a lot as an editor over the years is like, take a stance, have an opinion. Don't give me a political down the middle answer. I think Brad's kind of like the great poster, you know, fantasy guy for that. It's like,
yeah, he will not mince words.
He will decide what he believes and he will sell it to the hilt, you know, and that's really what people are looking for. I don't want any wishy-washy stuff. I don't want gray. I'm asking you for start sit advice. Tell me definitively what you think. And, you know, he does
in the
that.
kindest way. He's like the Saul Goodman of fantasy. I think it's great. Yeah. I think I'm with it for sure. And also, you know, hat tip to you. You know, you and I hadn't really done a bunch of podcasts, but instantly you're an easy conversationalist when we started doing the pods. And even in some points, I can get you going a little bit more than Jake until I get Jake going. Once we get Jake going, we're rolling. But you know, sometimes I can get you pushing with
it's
my
like
ideas.
You got to start that car in the morning and let it just sit there and idle for a little while.
I have a minute and a half long rant about something. And I'm like, so what do you think, Jake? No. Oh. I'm like, oh, well, damn. All right, Brandon. Yeah. And then, you know, then I push some buttons and we get going. But speaking of, let's get going into the podcast. That was a fun conversation about the industry.
It was.
Good person to do it with. Two quick questions, and then let's get into the actual ranks and a little focus on trades. We're a little less than a week away from the NFL trade deadline. You're going to have a little bit more time in your leagues. So I'm going to throw a couple questions at you around trades. Who are you buying? Who are we on the buyback for? Let's start with that instead of me throwing a whole bunch of it. Is there any players that you're on the buyback for as far as trades and you would want to trade for? We've kind of talked about some of the guys that have performed well or maybe being under the radar. We've talked about Elijah Moore coming back. Is there anybody that you're trying to get on a trade right now before they pop?
Elijah Moore came to mind. You're talking about who I want to try to acquire before. Oh, buy low on. Oh, good. Go ahead.
Like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, any of those guys?
I don't
guys?
Know. I mean, until Desmond Ridder comes around, does Drake London have any hope? Like, and do we even know with Desmond Ridder if that, you know, how much extra hope there is there? I think that's a little bit of a worry there. It's a good one. I think Elijah Moore is a good one. You got some people in mind. Kind of have to mold this one over a little
bit. I think the Elijah Moore one, how about on the opposite end as well, as far as sells? Is there anybody, you know, I don't know if you and I have done a whole lot over on the Athletic Pod, if we've been talking a lot about sells, but outside of buy, I think the buying is actually a little bit more difficult right now. Is there anybody on the opposite end that now I don't think this has to be like buy high, sell high, sell low, anything like that. It could be anything. It could be high-end performances on players that you just want to get out from, similar to what I had a couple weeks ago with Debo, I'd been kind of screaming about, or it could be player that's pushing in a lower direction that is making you worry and you want to get out before it gets even lower.
I would just say, you know, Brian Robinson and David Montgomery, I feel like are two running backs where the guy behind them is one I would be just super, super worried about. And I think Antonio Gibson for the last couple of weeks has looked better than Brian Robinson. Khalil Herbert looked better than David Montgomery last night and in many of the weeks this year. So both of these guys coming off sellable weeks, I think, for Montgomery and Brian Robinson. You can sell 20 carries. You can sell touchdown from Montgomery and so I don't know if they're going to give you huge yields, but people looking for running backs that you can say, hey, this is a bell cow guy, I might be looking to get out from underneath both of those guys.
The Brian Robinson one has been standing out because we've been talking a lot about Antonio Gibson. We're going to talk about him here in a little bit. So let me throw one last thing at you with a couple names. What do you think in the trade market right now, does a 2-for-1 look like? Like, there's an overall statement here. Let's pick a player on a 2-for-1 and let's go with Joe Mixon, you know, Joe Mixon Boggs.
Oh, just what, out of nowhere.
Just a random
out
player.
Of nowhere, just a completely random out of name that random we player. Haven't talked about and argued about at all. So let's go with Joe Mixon.
This is just more of the philosophical trade question. A 2-for-1. What does a 2-for-1 in your mind look like? And I know I'm kind of throwing this on you and we can look That's up right. names yeah. together, but like if you are trading away your Joe Mixon, what does that look like in your eyes for a 2-for-1?
Okay. So I don't know why, but like, I'm thinking like a Damian Pierce, someone that, you know, maybe still looks like he's a tier below. I mean, maybe not by the numbers, but like just kind of, you know, from a thought process, someone's going to go, oh, look at Joe Mixon on the Cincinnati Bengals versus Damian Pierce, unproven guy on the Texans. I would go, you know, someone like a Damian Pierce and then like a wide receiver 3.
Like Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, like you
know. Maybe that's too much. See now that
might be too much, but it, okay. You know, maybe like
he's played bad. That's why I'm just thinking you're buying low on McLaurin. Pierce is a little bit lower than Mixon, so you're getting some back.
What about like a Devonta Smith and a Damian Pierce?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking in this league.
Break it down.
See, okay. I think those are fantastic trades. This is actually one I want to get at, but you guys are both throwing something that I think is the bigger point here. That's what you want. I think Devonta Smith and Damian Pierce is a huge win for the Joe Mixon owner. There's no chance anyone is giving up that capital for Joe Mixon when they're giving up the key point here. You said Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce is in the teens, I think, of a running back on a week in and week out basis. So you're not going to give up. It's kind of like the whole draft pick thing. You ever do in Dynasty where it's like you want to move up around and you've got to give up so much? My point is when I love that you throw out Damian Pierce because I think 2-for-1s have to evolve around a player that is not dramatically far away from the other. But the problem with 2-for-1s is everybody wants that second piece to be still big. And I don't think it is. I think Damian Pierce is the perfect player to throw in with Joe Mixon. The problem I think we disagree with is I think you can't get it done unless the wide receiver is much further down. And it's probably a barely wide receiver 3. It's probably like a buying on a Wandale or maybe a Chase Claypool, or I don't know, maybe an Isaiah McKenzie, maybe Jerry Jeudy is the lowest. I think the highest you could get is Jerry Jeudy. I disagree with that. And I'm curious what you guys think, because you both threw out bigger names.
Yeah, I disagree with that because at that point, why am I doing this trade? Is Claypool really beating the third wide receiver I have on my team or my flex option? No. So just in terms of my starting lineup, I'm not getting better. So you have to get better. So it has to be the wide receiver in the right situation. Someone who is losing a bunch or people are down on. It'd have to be like, you know, maybe instead of Devontae Smith or Terry McLaurin, who are both a little underperforming right now. Maybe it's Adam Thielen. You know, I think he's better than like Claypool and those guys. So, but that's specific. Like, you have to have a guy like that for a trade like that to work. My other question about 2-for-1 trades here, Brandon, would be like this same deal that we're thinking of. Let's just take Pearson McLaurin. Is that it would Austin Eckler, who is exploding right now, and a lot of analysts are saying sell high, sell high, sell high, mm-hmm. you know, on a guy like him. Is that the type of deal that would get Eckler in your mind? Or, hey, Eckler's too hot, I have to get a bigger piece than McLaurin or a bigger piece than Pierce. Like, you would still be willing to deal him, but it has to be bigger than that.
Yeah, I think that's not going to be enough for me. Like, I think if I have Austin Eckler, I feel like as long as I am persistent about shopping that, I can do a better deal than that.
You want like Mixon and McLaurin instead?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, I think right now you're selling high and you can sell Austin Eckler right now, you know, what he's been doing pretty easily in my mind. So.
And I think it's when you change the class of player too, is when this whole thing jolts. Like Brandon, would you trade your McLaurin and Damian Pierce for Joe Mixon?
No.
Would you trade your Devonta Smith and Damian Pierce for Joe Mixon?
No. It's getting closer, but no, probably not.
So I think that's always the litmus test when these trades are coming out here, because I knew
makes sense for both people.
It does, but I knew it was going to be something along those lines. But I think the gap between the RB, you know, call it 15 to 20, isn't as big as we think in the trade market from the, like, let's say the number 10 RB. And that's what makes trades tough. And that's why I think this is an interesting conversation around how to perform 2-for-1s, because you should ask yourself, would you trade these two for this guy without the biasness of like, well, yeah, sure I would, because I want this trade to happen. No, like, honestly, would you trade these? And that's going to help you in the trade market.
One more, and then I'll burn through my questions. They're not tough. They're quick. But what about, do you think that initial deal, the Mixon for Pearson McLaurin, is that fair? If an owner decided to say yes to that, would you be like, what the hell are you doing? That's not fair. Or would you say, all right, like, this could work out for you, but I wouldn't be doing it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I don't know about you guys, but in 12 team leagues, it's a lot harder for me to find wide receiver replacements than it is to get a usable running back. And so, like, in a 12 team league with, you know, bunch of people that know what they're doing, and the benches are a little bit bigger, like, there's garbage out there. So I think legit wide receiver 3, and I think we can call Terry McLaurin that with Heineke, at least, is that makes up that gap. I think the McLaurin one is a fair deal. Like, I mean, I think it's like I said, it's probably, it swings it more on the Damian Pierce and McLaurin
side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's, we don't think Damian Pierce is going away. And that's the thing. It's completely on the table that Damian Pierce can outproduce Joe Mixon the rest.
Sure.
Of the
exactly.
And yeah, so exactly. Just for the idea that Mixon has, you know, the track record on the side, what are you paying for? And I think you're right. It's probably more Wandale, you know,
I think that's more fair. But I don't think the other one is unfair. And the whole reason, like, Pierce is the name specifically because it's, you know, this guy never carried the full load of Florida. So asking him to carry the full load in the NFL is a big question here. And Joe Mixon has done it many, many times.
Were you live putting one of your trades and one of your teams in this? You're like, this is absolutely fair, not. Right, guys? No, I should be getting McLaurin.
No.
I feel like Bogman was trying to do a trade on the show.
No, but look, we got a lot of leagues that still do vetoes, you know, and vetoes are ridiculous. So that's just my whole point, is like, understand your situation. Just because you wouldn't do it doesn't mean other people can't do it.
Right.
My question is here for you, Fonsa, before we get to the plays. Travis Etienne, is he an RB1 for the rest of the season now that James Robinson is in New York? And what do you think about James Robinson going to New York?
You know, I've kind of been doing this is he an RB1 thing with Breece Hall and then with Kenneth Walker. And now here we are at Travis Etienne as we deal with these things. I don't think Etienne is. I think he's in that, you know, sort of
borderline
range, kind of a, you know, borderline, like right around top 15, 16, you know, it's a lot. It's kind of where I've been putting Aaron Jones a lot of weeks, you know, of late. I kind of feel like he's in that Aaron Jones's value. Although, you know, this last week we saw a lot more Aaron Jones than we've been seeing in previous weeks. And And so we'll maybe that's not going to end up being an apt comparison, but he's kind of in that early to mid RB2 range for me.
How about, well, James Robinson in New York, how do you see that playing out?
I think, you know, I think we're seeing this Achilles thing just not working out for these guys in the first year back. And James Robinson started nice, but it wasn't really like world beating nice. And then we're just seeing him kind of like fade in Jacksonville. And I think there's just legitimately a reason they got rid of him. Like if he's full James Robinson from, you know, when he was drafted, and I think he's just lost a little bit of a step. And, you know, Michael Salfino wrote about this in his latest market share report, a lot of 2 yards and less kind of carries, not a lot of juice right now. I think it's Michael Carter. And I think this is not a straight platoon in my mind. I think we're going to see a lot more Michael Carter, and James Robinson's kind of just your more kind of backup, glorified backup.
That's what I'm thinking. We didn't get a chance because we were joking on our text thread, because the minute we ended the show on The Athletic on Monday, Breece Hall was officially out. And then you had the trade happen with James Robinson. Yeah. And we talked a lot about Michael Carter, so I'm a Michael Carter guy. All right, last one, Spock.
Yeah, I just want to do one more. Rest of the season between these three, rank them for me if you could. AJ Dillon, Antonio Gibson, Deontay Foreman.
These are good.
Because I know you like Gibson, but I mean, Dillon has been bad, but still better than Gibson, and Foreman now seems to have at least the majority of the touches in this role for Carolina.
Yeah, Dillon just not doing much in the passing game right now. I'm honestly, weirdly, so you got Dillon. Who was the second guy?
Gibson and then Foreman.
Okay. I'm going to go Deontay Foreman first. Is that weird?
Wow. Okay, no.
It's not weird. I don't think that's weird at all.
Yeah. I just, you know, he killed it down the stretch for the Titans last year. He got 3 100-yard games in his last 6 games, filling in for Henry. Then here he is in his first significant opportunity with the Panthers, goes over 100 yards, actually catching the ball. So, yeah, I'm going to go Foreman, and then I'm going to go Gibson, because I think there could be a boomerang back around to Gibson. He was running angry last week. I think he's caught 3 balls in like 4 straight games. Brian Robinson's completely not utilized in the passing game. So, yeah, I'm down on AJ Dillon right now. I think the context clue of last week with Aaron Jones is something that we're going to see persist.
I'm with you. That's I mean, Gibson and Foreman is a question to me, but I think Dillon has to go third out of that
group. And I think that's a really good group to compare, because I'm ranking rest of season, I probably have those guys really close to back to back to back.
Yeah, I like those a lot. And now we can rank up against each other. These are the week 8 ranks. As always, we'll do our snake draft style. We'll go through them quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. And Brandon, we're going to let you, as our illustrious guest, get to kick it off. It is going to start with your surprise quarterback for week 1. Obviously, we'll kind of pay attention to ECR. These are non-typical with quote RB1. So we obviously wouldn't be like, you know, it's going to be really good this week. Lamar Jackson. We're like, no, not that. So non-typical surprise QB1 for the week. It's on you. Just remember, don't take our guys.
Okay, yeah. Well, first of all, we should not be surprised that anybody finishes as a QB1. I mean, Tua was a QB1 last week. He had 261 passing yards and 1 touchdown, and did, you know, 15 rushing yards on the ground. So that was a QB1.
All head.
That's a good point. So I was pointing at myself. I want to be like, I had him as the 9. Blah blah blah. Yeah. But also, that's not a good stat line to be at. Yeah. So great point.
So I'm going to cheat here a little bit and say New Orleans Saints quarterback.
You know. Okay. Yeah. Whoever.
Right? If it's Dalton, QB1. If it's Jameis, QB1. If it's not Jameis, then that's create the whole other thing, because Jameis is ready to go. So what are we doing? Yeah. Like, if we're going back to Andy Dalton, Jameis, you can argue the bloom is not completely off the rose yet. Andy Dalton, you can't make that argument. So
would it be funny too is you could have 2 Saints quarterbacks be top 10 at their position this week with if you want to throw out Taysom Hill as well at tight end to qualifying a quarterback, you might get that. All right, so my quarterback, I literally said this last week or the beginning of this week, where it's like, we could take this guy off of the surprise quarterback for the week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In This League.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I'm back. I'm going to go with Jared Goff versus Miami. Miami is in the top 10 in giving up yards and completions to quarterbacks right now. I'm assuming Goff is going to get Amon-Ra St. Brown back. Did you see that whole thing where it was like he wasn't taken out because of the concussion? He was taken out because of the protocol. I think it's just like the new Tua protocol that he was taken out for. So I think he wanted to come back. So we'll get Amon-Ra St. Brown back. And then I assume we're going to get DeAndre Swift back. And this offense, or at least as far as this defense goes that they're playing up against, is susceptible. So I like the weapons getting back in here. I love Swift being involved back in the game. Miami gives up some decent yards to running backs as far as receiving goes as well. They're a little bit better against the run, but DeAndre Swift makes his damage on both sides of it. So if Swift is back, it makes me feel very comfortable. I like a couple touchdowns on Goff. Might even pay attention to see what his juice is going to be when the 1.5 touchdown passing touchdown marker comes out. I might pay attention to that. So I'm going to go with Goff versus Miami this week. Bogman, what say you?
Give me Justin Fields versus Dallas. And, you know, I know he's coming off a big performance on Monday Night Football, but it's not just Monday Night Football because 2 weeks before that, he's rushed for at least 80 yards. So he's doing it on the ground. If we're adding a passing game to Justin Fields now, he's going to be very, very dangerous. He still is scoring inside the top 10, but, you know, nobody wants to buy in on the Bears. I think it's understandable. They have been rough, but it's got to be Fields here. But I'm super excited for the next one. Welsh, go ahead and ask me the next one.
Well, I will. I just wanted to say, like, Fields is a guy, like, every single week I'm going to be like, not top 10, not top 10. And then he'll be top 10. I'll just never do it. I'll never do it because then the day I do it, he will be, you know, I'll be like, okay, he's six this
four
week.
Picks,
he'll
two fumbles. 24. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Bogman, I am excited for you for this one as well. I was very surprised at this one. Bogman, your sleeper quarterback of the week. Hold on. I want you to, go deep into your mind. Mm-hmm. We got some accolades.
It's going to be a tough decision for me, for sure.
Bogman and I have been very, very good. It's probably our best year we've had on predicting trades and weird stuff happening. I got my love from a lot of people about my Christian McCaffrey trade rumor for 3 weeks. We talked about Bogman actually nailed the James Robinson one, but there's one thing that he said on the podcast that I think got him most going. So Bogman called me now. Who is your sleeper quarterback for the week?
Slinging Sammy Ehlinger for the Indianapolis Colts against Washington. Sam Ehlinger is a run first QB. He's going to look like a right-handed Tebow out there. That's what you're going to get from him. Remember some totals that Tebow put up for us in fantasy when he was starting, because he runs at the goal line and he's big. He's 6'3". He's about 245, 250 pounds, probably. He's looked good in the preseason and stuff. Likes to throw to the running backs and to the slot guy. So we'll just say that. And that is one I left for you too, Welsh.
Oh, you left it. Yeah. You teed it up.
There's a couple guys there that I'm kind of on as well. You know, it's funny. I was looking up his Texas career. And one of the reasons I loved
him. He made Duvernay.
Duvernay, like, led the nation in screen passes, and it was just all yards after the catch. So there is a guy that I think has a similar skill set on that.
Yeah. Goal. Oh, yep. Oh God. Let me see how this is going to line up. Am I going to get stolen? Let me see. I'm going to get sniped. I'm going to get sniped on one of my guys. 100%. I just look, because I can guarantee you, if this is not the guy, but if Nyheim Hines doesn't come out of Brandon's mouth in one of these, I'm going to be,
he's on my goddamn list. Shocked. Don't be looking at my list already. Whoops. Welsh. Come on.
My bad. Yeah, I see that. But my guy's going to get sniped. So I'm just pre-telling you that, you that Paris Campbell will not be mine, but even look, though I did write him on here. But
Sam Ehlinger is a guy that not only can be used down by the goal line, but he's going to run in the middle of the field too a lot. So this could be great for JT as well, a quarterback that you can work some RPO off of too. It can open up the whole offense. So he's got to complete his passes. That's the bad thing, you know, is he doesn't have a gun, doesn't have a rocket. He can try to force it in sometimes. So if turnovers don't kill him, then he could be good. Turnovers could send him back to the bench, though. So, like, give me Sammy slinging Sammy Ellinger as my QB2 this week.
We might have to pay attention to his rushing yard prop this week too, as well, Box. Yeah. Would that be something to take a look at? Absolutely. Might come in low.
Under 50, I'm going for it.
So. Up to self, yes.
Yeah, let's look at Sam Ellinger. I think it could come in.
Is literally writing that down right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he did. I know.
I got a little side project where I do a lot of player prop stuff. So.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's called the retirement fund.
It's called my bad mood on Sunday night. My sleeper quarterback for the week is going to be a much deeper name. This probably is well more into super flex stuff, but I'm going with PJ Walker. You know, this was one of those things. Again, he gets these good hits. It feels good when you say something and it comes into fruition, like Bogman did with Ellinger. I said it both on ITL and The Athletic. I don't see a scenario how PJ Walker just performed, how the Panthers do anything but start him in this coming week. And they made the commitment and they just said, regardless of health or anything like that, the PJ Walker earned it. He looked like Geno Smith out there. He did exactly what he said he was going to do in his first press conference. He said, I got to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. And one of those is gone now. And he threw it 10 times to DJ Moore. Deontay Foreman looked good. Chuba looked good. And this is up against an Atlanta team that is giving up the most passing yards to quarterbacks in the NFL and is averaging 2.5 passing touchdowns per game. This is something, if this were the Seahawks, we would be, Geno Smith is top 7. He'd be 7 or 6 at quarterback. PJ Walker right now, even though it's gross and it's totally disgusting because it's Carolina, they've got huge momentum. This also isn't college football. This isn't the letdown spot. They just beat Tampa Bay. They've got a game plan. They got an efficient quarterback in PJ Walker. I think he's sneaky this week. It's a good defensive matchup and they're going to work it. He was super efficient. Give me PJ Walker as my sleeper. What say you, Brandon?
I say thank you, PJ Walker, for restoring a little bit of DJ Moore for us as well.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I'll throw out Davis Mills. He was, depending on your scoring format, 6 or 8 last week. He threw for over 300 yards, had a couple touchdowns. Look at the Titans. They've given up 4 300-yard games. Every quarterback that faced him until Matt Ryan last week had thrown for at least two touchdowns. And Ryan not doing it, you know, basically got him benched. So, Davis Mills was a surprise QB1 last week. I think he can do it again.
I like it. All right. So now we're going to get into the running backs and you get to kick us off, Brandon, with your surprise RB1 of the week, a non-typical RB1 that you think is going to perform very well.
I don't have him ranked RB1. I have him as my number 13 overall. So he's there. It's Raheem Mostert. Going up against Detroit.
Ooh, love that one.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit gave him a 5.4 yards per carry to the running back position. And the thing about Mostert is, like, look good on the ground, but he's catching passes too. So they're actually using him in the passing game, something that you didn't see a whole lot of in San Francisco. But, man, he's just on the field a lot right now. Chase Edmonds is kind of an afterthought at this point. So love the matchup. Love the usage for Mostert over, like, the last month, really.
Yeah, I absolutely love that one. The one I picked here, he's actually currently on ECR. I'm surprised. He's not even inside the top 15. I'm going with Travis Etienne as my RB1 for the week. Denver is giving up the 8th most yards per carry, which I think is really interesting because the yards don't necessarily line up because it's rush attempts against that don't line up, but they're giving up the 8th most yards per carry in the NFL and the 7th most targets thrown to running backs. And another fun one, Etienne is 3rd in the NFL in yards per attempt at over 6 yards per attempt right now. Put all that together. No more James Robinson. Hopefully no more fumbles. And Etienne is a go. And I think they're going to have to get him to a lot because I think Denver is going to be in Trevor Lawrence's face a whole bunch. This is going to be a lot of Etienne this week. So I'm going to go with my surprise RB1 is Travis Etienne. Bogman, what say you?
Let's go with Aaron Jones at Buffalo. I know that Buffalo is a tough matchup, but, you know, like we talked about with Funson before, they're going away from A.J. Dillon. He is non-existent in the passing game. Do we expect the Packers to be winning at any point in this game? I don't. So I think there's going to be a lot of passing for the Packers, which means Aaron Jones is going to be on the field catching more passes. He is their leading receiver right now. I don't see that changing in this game. So give me Aaron Jones in a tough matchup against the Packers currently in half. Is RB14. I think he's pretty easy in RB1 this week. So
I like with the reception uptick too with the 9. All right, surprise RB2 for week 7. So probably, you know, a guy that's been out of RB2 that's jumping in, Boggs.
Yeah, I mean, this one's tough because it feels like the guys that are in the RB territory, like, you know, RB2 territory, excuse me, like 13 through like 22 are all kind of obvious. And then you have a big mix of maybes in there. I'm just going to say James Robinson because I'm excited about him going to the Jets. I know they play against New England, not the best matchup here, but I think just give him a little opportunity and he's going to be able to rip some off. I think he's going to look better getting out of Jacksonville because all they wanted him to do was the dirty work in Jacksonville. That's it. Here, do all your dirty work. We're going to give Travis Etienne the outside runs and the catches and stuff like that. I think he'll be a little more utilized in New York. They did just trade for him. So might as well run him into the ground since he's a free agent next year. So I'll go with J-Rob.
My number two is actually, it's a guy who's ranked in the 30s on the ECR. We talked pretty at length over on The Athletic about this idea that Gus Edwards is an RB2 moving forward. And Tampa Bay obviously has been a really tough team on defensive side early in the year. Not so much recently, obviously coming off of a performance or giving up more than 60 yards rushing to two running backs, one being Deontay Foreman for over 100. You could call it like weird letdown spotty type of things that's going on, but you're going to get Baltimore that's going to come in and they're going to do the exact same. They're going to pound it harder. And you've got Lamar Jackson, who's going to stretch the field. Gus Edwards is going to be the guy. He's going to get 16, 17 carries and he's going to do his damage. Tampa Bay's run defense is not what it used to be. And Lamar's going to make it no easier for them coming off of that Carolina game. So I think people are not quite up on where Gus Edwards should be. I think the ranks on ECR and stuff will adjust, you'll see through the week, but I think you should comfortably sit Gus Edwards as an RB2 this week, so he's going to be mine. What do you got, Brandon?
Yeah, that was my guy. I figured one of you guys might take him. I will say, I will throw out another name who is very back end on the ECR, very back end RB2. It's Devin Singletary. I'm seven spots ahead because he's 24 in ECR. I have him ranked at 17.
I almost picked him.
You look at his last month, he's been RB17. This is where he produces. And over the last month, they've upped his snaps a ton. There was one blowout in that mix where he was kind of down, where they just let James Cook a little bit. But three of his last four, he's got.
That was against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was against Pittsburgh. That's right. But it's the Packers have been terrible against the run. They're one
bad.
Of, like, I think, six teams giving up over 5 yards to carry to the running back.
Yep.
So there you go.
They're the worst. Sleeper running back for the week. So we're digging much deeper, probably a not crazy starter. Maybe gets into flex, maybe not. But what say you, your sleeper RB of the week?
Well, I would say Nyheim Hines, but I'll go something different. I don't want to overload on Colts here. So how about Antonio Gibson, a guy I've already talked about?
No, we're laughing because Nyheim Hines was Bogman's and Antonio Gibson was mine.
That you just said.
So we're all on the same marker here. So we can burn through this easy because those were the easy guys. Like, you know what? And why don't we do this? Since Bogman and I both picked them, Bogman, you can obviously do any pickup you want, but talk just about both of those guys for a minute. Let's get your analysis on it because I think we all agree that those are the three big sleeper RBs this week.
Yeah, well, we talked about the Erlinger, move, and I was diving in on the Texas. You know, he had a year where he completed like 52 passes to running backs for the Longhorns. The year that Duvernay had 106 catches, a lot of them screen passes, but short area. Like, this is, I think, all about Indy going heavy on Jonathan Taylor and heavy on the short area passing game when it's not Jonathan Taylor. Nyheim Hines came back after Deion Jackson looked really good and assumed his old role, and Deion Jackson was not given any extra love for what he did for his time served while Hines was out. So, like, I think we're going to see, you know, 4 to 6 catches out of Nyheim Hines. And
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night. And, you know, maybe a few carries in a flex spot this week. That probably works. Antonio Gibson's kind of the same thing. Indy's a pretty good run defense in general. Like, in the style of Brian Robinson, I don't see him just getting a bunch of big gainers. I just think Antonio Gibson's a guy who I said, I think it's 4 straight games with 3-plus catches. I think he gets those again. Plus, you know, what is it, 8-10 carries as well? Again, I think
that rolls better for him. Yeah. Don't you think so, Funston? Don't you? Because he's not a guy. He didn't do it in college either. That was going to get 25 touches and wear down a defense. What's the meme?
Not better for J.D. McKissick, but it's better for Gibson. Yeah.
Well, screw J.D. McKissick. Who cares? So exactly. Give me Antonio Gibson. That's what I say. And Nyheim Hines, it's everything you just said. And Welch is right about it, too. You know, it's going to be short passes for the Colts here, which probably negatively impacts Michael Pittman. A little bit, you know, and just brings all those other guys, specifically Campbell and Hines, up, and probably the tight ends too. So
I think this week specifically, it could hurt Pittman. Long term, I think it can help once Ellinger is comfortable. Ellinger's comfortable, gets a rapport. Defenses also adjust to him, and if he's going to be throwing a lot of short passes, defenses are going to adjust, and it's going to be opportunity. It just doesn't feel like a great week. So we all agree, Gibson and Hines are the guys. So Bogman. Wide receiver one, this one I loved of yours. I literally started writing up all this stuff because it's like, you know, ADOT and all the targets, and it's just everything makes sense for this one. So it's a great play.
Yeah, Chris Olave versus Vegas. Vegas doesn't have any good guys in coverage on the back end. And Chris Olave right now still looking like the only option that they have. Maybe Landry's back. Maybe Michael Thomas is back. Alvin Kamara's been low. Olave's the guy here. He's the number one option on this offense. So I think he's going to smoke Vegas and have a huge week. And I don't know why he's not a wide receiver one. Got to be.
Yeah. Another guy that's not a wide receiver one is Chris Godwin. And they've got a great matchup against Baltimore. Now, obviously, they are a problem. This one also comes a little bit more out of Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a problem right now. He just doesn't seem right. Tom Brady's go-to is consistently Chris Godwin. And Baltimore is giving up I thought this was interesting. They're giving up 14 receptions a game to starting running backs, which is a decent amount. And it's kind of on the higher side, but for over 190 yards to those receivers on 14 receptions, which in comparison, that's Pittsburgh territory of receptions based on receiving yards.